السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته، أنا منال الدباغ وأهلا وسهلا في بودكاست لنبدأ الحوار Start the Conversation. الهدف من البودكاست أنه نبدأ الحوار في مواضيع مختلفة ما أخذت حقها في مساحة الحوار أو ما في أحد يبغى يتكلم فيها. المواضيع مختلفة لكن كلها بتدور حول كيف نقدر نعيش بكليتنا مش كأجزاء متفرقة في تناغم مع الناس حوليننا والبيئة. الفضول والشغف هو اللي خلاني أبدأ البودكاست وهو اللي يدفعني لاختيار المواضيع وضيوف البودكاست. مرة تانية أهلا وسهلا، وإن شاء الله تلاقوا شيء مفيد في الحلقة، وإذا في أي مواضيع تحبوا تسمعوها أو أشخاص تحبوا تسمعوا منهم أتواصلوا معايا. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. حلقة اليوم باللغة الإنجليزية، ضيوفي مارك والش ودانييلا فيزو. مارك من أحد معلميني في الفترة السابقة، مؤسس The Embodiment Conference. أول مرة بدأ 2018 وهذه تاني مرة يصير الكونفرنس. إن شاء الله حيكون في أكتوبر أونلاين، حيجمع عدد كبير من المختصين والخبراء. تقدروا تشوفوا مين اللي حيكون موجود في صفحة الكونفرنس. أنا شخصيا جدا متحمسة عليه واستفدت كثير من حضوره قبل سنتين، وحابة أنه أعرف المستمعين فيه. أنا شخصيا حأشارك فيه، وإذا أحد يحب أنه يقدم شيء يقدر يتواصل، وفي معلومات في البودكاست عن كيفية التواصل. شكرا لاستماعكم، وإذا في أي سؤال أو استفسار أتواصلوا معايا أو أتواصلوا مع مارك ودانييلا. Welcome everyone for a new episode of Start the Conversation podcast. My guests today are Dannyella Vesel. I pronounced it correctly. I'm not German. Dannyella organized the Embodiment Conference in 2018, was involved in a number of online conferences. She is currently the conference manager of the Embodiment Conference 2020, course manager of the Embodied Facilitator course. She teaches workshops and courses in embodied self-defense and mindfulness, and involved in individual coaching, and a colleague of mine. And I have Mark Walsh. So if anyone didn't see me post or mention Mark, probably this is the first time they get to know me. But Mark is one of my primary teachers. He has dedicated his life to embodied learning. Founder of the Embodied Facilitator course, Embodied Yoga Principles, and Europe's first embodied business training company, Integration Training. Hello, Mark.
Hello. Makes it sound like I've been busy with all that stuff.
Yeah, maybe a bit busy. Well,
nice to see you again, Manal.
Yeah, it's nice. And first, I want to begin with thanking you both, because you both had been a kind of encouragement and precursor in helping this podcast come to life. Dannyella helped me with my Zoom calls last year, and Mark, your ambition and outlook to, why not, let's do that, has been, it's like, okay, so if Mark can record his podcast, maybe I can as well.
Why not? That's been my catchphrase my whole life, hasn't it? Just like, why not? Give it a go. I like to encourage.
Yeah, and it started right after Embodiment Conference 2018. And it's like, okay, let's give it a try. And I'm in a point of, let's email so-and-so and see if they want to be on the podcast. Why not?
Well, as it's you, I thought, why not? Let's have a chat. And well done for doing it. Well done for actually having the guts to, go out there and put it out there and do it. Good for you.
When I emailed you both, few years, centuries ago, about recording this episode, it was to talk mainly about the Embodiment Conference coming up in October 2020, and to understand your reasoning behind it, how much work it takes, and how awesome it would be. However, things have changed tremendously.
A lot of changes. Was it like 6 weeks ago we booked this? A lot of change. For listeners, what's the date today? It's
April 9th.
Yeah.
So this is kind of scheduled to air in 2 weeks. So we have no idea
what will happen by then. We'll all be eating grass, or who knows?
The zombies will come out, maybe.
The apocalypse, for sure.
But I want to start with your latest project, Mark, because I want to highlight that as an effort you're putting out, which is COVID Calm Clinics. So
okay. Well, I think let's place it within the context of reaction to COVID, which people are listening in different countries, different levels of severity. I messaged a Japanese student yesterday. She was like, what problem? You know, so I think depending on where you are, it's quite different. However, most of the world has had some kind of reaction to it, most of which has involved some kind of hardship or loss, maybe fear. And, you know, what I noticed is the embodiment community, particularly EFC community, embodied facilitator course, which you did, was responding really well. And people seemed to be more centered, less in that fight flight reactivity, and more able to better look after themselves and then have the resource to look after others. So I, my background in martial arts and working in areas of conflict, which Daniela has also done as a ex-police woman who was in Afghanistan, right, Daniela?
Yes.
Me and Daniela were joking. We were like, this is just Tuesday, you know, like this is just... And also because we're used to like this incredible workload of EFC and the conference in such intensity, to us, we were just like, okay, this is just another day in the life. So we responded, I think, both of us reasonably well, and started doing teaching a lot of yoga teachers to go online. So we taught about 4,000 yoga teachers to work online in the space of a week. Huge calls on Zoom teaching people how to do that. And then I realized there'd be a lot of people at home who'd be a bit bored and in lonely and would need some sort of well-being stuff. So we launched embodiment circles online. And there are, as you know, I think 85 of them, including in like 16, 17 languages, including Arabic. And then I went, okay, well, that's set up. And, you know, Daniela's taking care of the business of the EFC and the conference, you know, her normal capable hands. I needed a project, you know. So I kind of thought, well, who's most in need of help right now? And it was very obviously doctors and nurses. And I thought, okay, well, I've taught a lot of doctors and nurses stress management, and that's something I can do well. You know, my training company's done that for years. And I've taught it, as I said, in areas of conflict and more intense places. So I have a certain credibility there. And I have a really good network of trainers and coaches, because I train so many other trainers and coaches to work with the body, with the embodied work, that I just put an email out and 90 trainers and coaches came back. And then we put together this little 30-minute stress management package. And I wanted to do like my most useful things that could be replicated, because I had to teach these trainers in a week, right? So we had to teach 90 trainers in a week. And my friend Jairaj just stepped up. He's a Buddhist friend of mine. He's a really good trainer. So he got involved. And as ever, you know, I don't do that much. I just ask like more talented people than me to do stuff. So we, you know, an administrator stepped up, and then someone to do the schedule stepped up. And then Daniela said, right, I'm going to help people with the Zoom call. She's been doing masterclasses. And before we know it, we've got this project, and we're doing, you know, six times a day for free, all volunteers, for anyone in the world that wants a stress management workshop. So any healthcare people listening, it's covidcalm.org, and it's bite-sized. So people can just do 5 minutes or 10 minutes, busy people, half an hour if they want. And it's our sort of top quick win tools. Someone called it psychological PPE. So PPE is the personal protective equipment, the gloves and things. So that's really nice. And doctors seem to like it. Nurses seem to like it. And it's up and running now. So yeah, that was this week's project.
This week's project. So it's fabulous. And I'm slightly involved in it. And I'm hearing a lot of cool stuff. And I wanted to highlight that in this call. And I for sure will add the link to the notes. So let's bring it back to the embodiment conference. If we could brush briefly on how did it start? Why did it start?
Daniela, you want to take that one?
I don't even know where to start there. So Mark and me, we met like years ago through the Aikido. And to that time, I was live-in student with Miles Kessler, who is also one of my teachers, beside also Mark. And Miles went with his meditation online, and he started like doing small online courses, starting with something like a telephone conferencing platform. To that time, it was still Maestro Conference, and did a smallish compared to the embodiment conference, Aikido Summit, which I organized. And that is when I started to get in contact with Zoom and this kind of stuff. Then in 2018, I think, Mark reached out to me and asked if I would like to just organize like a small course with Paul Linden, and that was kind of a try out how we work together and also how this format works. And it worked very, very well. And I enjoyed it a lot. Yeah, Mark caught me also in a time where I was looking for something to do. And then he came up with this conference, like very moderate with 50 speakers and 5,000.
So what happened was like I'm going to jump in. One night I went, hey, wouldn't it be cool if all my friends who are embodiment teachers, if we all did like a thing together for like a couple of days? And I texted 50 friends. Literally just text message, SMS. And the next morning, like 48 of them had said yes. And then I went, oh shit, I can't organize that. I'm rubbish at organizing. I'm a terrible organizer. I'm just the ideas person. So then Daniela had done these courses with me and had proven herself as a good Germanic Excel spreadsheet warrior of death. And I thought, you know what? I got Daniela involved. And at first it was going to be 50, and then I added a few and it ended up as 140 presenters. So Daniela had a big workload and we got a few other people to help her out. And then we thought maybe like 3,000, 4,000. I remember saying to Miles, who was one of the people who inspired me, loved Miles, saying, you know what, oh, it'd be really cool if like 3,000, you know, 4,000 come, I'll be so happy. And then we had like 5,000 and we still had a few weeks to go. And then I realized like, shit, we could use Facebook ads to get people to this conference and we'll probably make the money back from the recordings. We didn't even have a business model. This wasn't a business. This was just as an idea. And I wouldn't say luckily, but my dad had died a few months before and the inheritance had come through. My dad wasn't rich, but he had, you know, it was like 10,000 or something. And that enabled me to invest that money in the conference. And a lot of people lent me money as well. Like people would just lend me like 20,000 pounds. And I was like, shit, I've never borrowed more than 1,000 pounds or something before. So this was totally weird to me. And then we made all the money back on recordings. 15,000 people turned up. And also it was deep. Like people had a really like deep experience, which we didn't. Now people are starting to learn with this lockdown. People are learning about really online connection. But at the time, and it was crazy, wasn't it, Daniela? It was like this wild, every day there was an emergency. Someone would attack us or some member's staff would have a breakdown or some speaker wouldn't show up. And like every day we were having these emergencies. And it was just so much fun. And at the end, we had a big party where I dressed as Freddie Mercury and Daniela had a whip. And then we had this like big party at the end that was just to celebrate it. It was like, and my life wasn't the same after that because all of a sudden lots of doors started opening for me. And, you know, I did the conference and I wrote my book the next year. And those two things kind of just, my career, I'd always been like respected as an embodiment teacher and, you know, in a certain field, but then it just kind of leveled up after that. And what drew you into the whole embodiment thing? Because you've been doing Nia, you've been doing other stuff. Like what made you?
I've been doing Nia and it just made sense that the body has a lot of intelligence and with a lot of things we want to work through it. From Nia, I was introduced to Wendy Palmer and then somehow to find a connection to you. And then it's all history, 5 years of learning. And I'm super grateful because 5 years ago in these circumstances, I would have been a mess.
Really? Like what, on an interview? Like you'd be like,
No. In real life, interview would have been fine, but COVID lockdown with children. Okay.
It's helping you be a mother, it's helping you be a wife, it's helping you be a human being generally, right?
Absolutely. Self-regulation.
Useful
is
right now.
Yes. I'm so happy that I did EFC last year. So
we're
going
to be in hazmat suits this year. We're all going to be like with goggles and, you know, like no one's touching anyone. No touch without permission, no touch at all. 2 meter radius, no hug piles, no cuddling, none of that.
So back to the Embodiment Conference 2018, I have the recordings and I haven't went through them just yet. I thought, you know, I think pretty at the end of 2018, you said that you're going to start the 2020 kind of big mega kind of endeavor. And I was thinking, it's like, okay, so I'll have time to watch all the recordings. And funny thing now that I joke about it that my kind of celebrities. So when I did the interview with Philip Shepherd, that was like a celebrity of mine. It's
yeah,
like,
he's oh big. Philip's bigger than me. Philip's great. Great book. Beautiful speaker.
It's great. And it's like, you know, now someone like Stephen Porges is like, woohoo, this is a top listed celebrity that not a lot of people within my normal circle will think is like, who's that?
You know, it's interesting. And I have to remind myself this. I think family is really good for this. Mm. Like Danielle is pretty good as well, right? But it's like, sometimes I meet people in our little world, I'm like, who do you think you are? You know? Like some of them are real cool, like Stephen Porges and Philip Shepard. They're real cool guys, really nice people. And some of them aren't, you know, some people in this, you know, and like, you think you're a rock star, you know, you're like, you're just an embodiment guy. Like, come on, get real. But it's weird when there's people all over the world sending you messages, or someone, friend added me on Facebook yesterday, I sent a message saying, hey, do I know you? How's it going? And they said, oh, I'm a fan. Like, and I was like, non-ironically, I have fans. It's just the weirdest thing. Like, we have celebrity chefs now and celebrity gardeners, and it's just these little micro celebrities.
Embodiment is catching on, so yeah, who knows? Embodiment celebrities. So to bring it back to Embodiment Conference, so my question for you, Daniela, how is organizing this mega conference? And when I talk to people, I tell them, you know, it's if you brought all Hollywood, all the celebrities in the world and put them in one place.
1,000 speakers.
1,000 speakers. So how is that going? How's the process of just settling with that? And of course, you know, working with the ambitions of Mark.
I think the first thing I needed to learn is setting boundaries. I remember in the 2018 conference, I think I said, at 70 is stop. No, we're going to 90. No, at 90 is stop. No, let's go to 100.
A couple more.
Oh, suddenly it was 120. So the first thing to work with Mark is setting boundaries. But
I don't understand limits. So like that's good in some ways, but bad in others.
Yeah, I think it's not easy, but it's simple. So there are many moving parts, and there are many, many people involved into the conference. So we do have channel managers. I'm not managing 1,000 speakers alone. I'm also not choosing them alone, and also Mark is not choosing them alone. So we do have application processes. We do have the channel managers. Like we have 10 different channels.
Daniela has 10 Danielas, basically. That's how it works. We cloned her. She's awesome. 10 Danielas working for her.
Yeah, something like that. And we do have like, now we have a social media person who helps us. We do have people for the Facebook advertisement. We have people for the design. So it's quite a big team. And I need to learn not to try to control everything. So also setting boundaries for myself there and learning to delegate, and at the same time, keeping the bigger view. So for me, it was fairly easy to organize all the speakers myself compared to the role I'm in now. And what works is keeping like the vision ahead, but taking one step at a time.
Awesome. So I'll go to you, Mark, with what is the vision? Why the Embodiment Conference?
Well, I want a more embodied world. My whole life vision and my life purpose is just expressed in different ways, whether I'm writing a book or doing a conference or training trainers like you. It's all the same. It's basically, I think, a more embodied world is a kinder world, a saner world. And I would love a world where embodiment is so obvious. It would be like no one teaches me or you how to use a refrigerator, right? Because it's just something you grow up with. There's refrigerators and you put things in and they come out cold and it's nice. But that didn't always used to be that case. Refrigerators were a thing that's invented, and life in Saudi Arabia is probably very different before refrigerators, right? So I want embodiment to be that obvious, that it's invisible, that it's taught as part of normal kids' education, that it's when you go to hospital, the doctor says, hey, what kind of yoga are you doing? Okay, let me see the metrics from your brain tracking meditation headband. Okay, I reckon, you know, how much time are you spending in nature? And here's some antibiotics, you know? Like, I want to see it in politics, so that embodied leadership is just a normal part of politics, and that brings like a values and ethics into politics that doesn't exist. I want to see it in terms of how people relate to the environment, you know? And certainly when there's emergencies, Lord's crisis like COVID, we see the absolute necessity for having practices of self-regulation, self-care, connection. You know, I'm teaching some of the biggest companies in the world crisis leadership. I'm teaching people who get paid 10 times as much as me how to lead thousands of people. And it's like, this is basic for me as an embodiment teacher. So for me, that's the vision. The conference is a way of reaching
conservative guess, 200,000 people, you know, and if we reach 300, 400, who knows, right? But at least, I mean, we're going to be on 100,000 people registered by the end of May, right? So to reach people at that scale, I never dreamed of. Like, I'm just some kid from a farm village whose parents, you know, one parent was unemployed, the other parent was a teacher, from a very normal family. So like, when I see that we have 500,000 podcast views or 14 million YouTube downloads, or my newsletter goes out to, I think, 80,000 people now, you know, or the conference will be like 200,000. That's incredible to me that one person that just has some energy and some good ideas can do that. And in a way, I'm sort of greedy. Like, I sort of think, well, why would you help one person when you can help 1,000 or 100,000, right? And also, it's just what I do. Like, embodiment's my thing. I think there's lots of great things you can do for the world. And this is just happens to be the one that I'm interested in. And I also like doing small things. Like, I'm not going to stop doing EFC with 25 students and having those people like you, who I get to know and nurture, and my Jedis who I support over years in their businesses. And that's satisfying too. So I found the most satisfying combination for life purpose is to have deep long-term relationships that last years, like with Daniela, like with you, with other people, and also just going really big. Like, why not? And, you know, like all trainers, I'm a frustrated rock star. So, you know, that's the real part of it.
I want to bring it to the online factor, which, and I've heard you say that, and you wrote it on your post many times, that before COVID and, you know, 6 months ago, or maybe when you started doing the Embodiment Conference 2018, embodiment online seemed ridiculous.
What did people say, Daniela?
It's an oxymoron. I learned this word in that
time. They would laugh on our Facebook adverts. People would say, oh, you can't do this, or either you're stupid or you're arrogant or something like this. We get insulted. They say it's an oxymoron. Yeah. And we fucking did it.
But there is anyway. Something about accessibility in that. So there is, I think that's also like part of the vision. There is a part in accessibility. Not everybody can go to a course. Not everybody has the finances to pay like a workshop with Philip Shepherd.
Mm-hmm. A lot of money. It's a lot of money.
Yeah.
It's difficult for we when we started doing online, I would see people with kids. I would see people with elderly parents. I would see people that were poor. And we would, or just couldn't leave the house for one reason or another. And we were giving them like zoom, boom, right into the house, the best people in the world for free. And so anyone that criticizes it, I'm just like, we're making this stuff accessible. We're democratizing embodiment in a way that it's been this just like privilege of the elite before now. And you know, I couldn't afford workshops until fairly recently, like that often, you know, the odd one. And we also just found, didn't we, Daniela, that it could go deeper than people expected.
Yeah. Well, for the longest time now, everyone in my family, whoever wants to, you know, give me a gift, a birthday gift, or want to be nice, it goes to workshops and traveling. That's and now I have to, with this situation, because it was my birthday end of March, I was thinking, okay, so I can't travel right now. What would I accept as a gift? So it's just kind of
online training. How do we say happy birthday in Arabic?
Kulli sana wa antum tayyibun.
Whoa.
Yes.
That's a tough language. One more time.
Kulli.
Kulli.
Sana.
Sana.
Wa anti.
Wa anti.
Tayyiba.
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 Yes. We'll have to. Yes. And I lost my train of thought right here.
So people saying you couldn't do it online.
Yes.
Giving you gifts for training, accessibility.
Yes, accessibility of right now, everyone is doing stuff online. And I'm pretty sure both of you don't have that much time to spare, but it would be quite interesting to go and see those people who have said that embodiment cannot be done online. Oh my God.
What did you say to me 2 years ago?
No, you better put a post, you know, on their offering stuff online.
It's not my style, but I mean, I think people have learned. Necessity is the mother of invention, and people are conservative at heart. What I mean by that is people go with what they know and they make that right and they stick. And sometimes that's good. It's good to stick with things that work, you know, so it's good to not just totally be radical all the time. But the problem with that is some of these new technologies really make scalability, accessibility, they can feel safer for people. And also, like, what do you do when there's a crisis? So, I mean, I lost 20 to 30% of my income last month, but I didn't lose all of it. Because not all my eggs are in that one basket. Equally, we could say, what do we do if the internet breaks? Everyone thinks that's impossible, but it's not.
It's not. Okay?
It's not. So, like, could your business survive that? Well, I know enough people that I can get on the phone and do a training with, right? So it's like, I think this is about being flexible, behavioral flexibility, and being creative. That's what we've really seen in this crisis, is who had the ability to be robust, listening. You have to be robust first. And then from the listening to be creative. Those people are thriving. This isn't a problem for them. This isn't a disaster. The people who were super conservative, had all their eggs in one basket, and then who weren't able to adapt quickly, those people had a lot of trouble.
Absolutely. I want to bring it to the embodiment circles, which that's one of the things that the conference 2018 came out with. And why did it happen? Or did it happen organically, or was it an intentional thought within the conference? And we'll get to how is it now online.
Mark, you want to start?
I can do, yeah. I mean, basically, people were getting together to watch the conference anyway. And then they were like, well, can we do something after the conference? Can we, you know, do embodiment together? And I'd been going to 12-step meetings for a long time, which, you know, I'm long-term sobriety. And so I've been going to these meetings for ages, and I thought it was a great model that in these meetings, they're totally democratic. No one's in charge. No one's making any money. Everyone just runs it themselves. It's like a circle. And I thought we could use that same model for embodiment people who often don't like being told what to do anyway. So we offered it out, and it was popular in a few places, like the Berlin group was popular very early. Some places really got it. Some places didn't. The Americans wanted to make money from it. It was kind of funny. And you know, it was kind of mildly popular. And then COVID hit. And people were saying, the Russians actually were saying, hey, we want to do an embodiment circle, but can we do it online? Because, you know, we can't go to St. Petersburg from Moscow, and they've invited us. And I was like, yeah, sure, why not? And then since then, it's, you know, it's absolutely taken off. And we've got all these different online circles now.
Okay. And how's your experience with organizing yet another project online, Daniela?
Actually, I didn't organize it. So okay. As I said with Mark, it's important to set boundaries, and sometimes set Mark the boundaries for me.
I wouldn't let you do that one, would I? Because
no.
I was like, you run my business.
No, so there's a focus point for sure. But there were a lot of volunteers stepping up. And I think the big advantage we had through the Embodiment Conference in 2018, we could really easily teach people how to do that, like using the techniques, using engagement in online activity, like how to create an interactive training, what is like different from online training to in-person training. So for us, it was really easy to access that and teach people how to do that. So it was fairly easy to set this up. And we had a great volunteer team who basically had time available because of the crisis and helped us to organize it, to set up all the schedule and so on.
People wanted to do something. You know what? People are actually really generous and people want to help. If you can give people a bit of direction, particularly when they're stressed or scared, people will, you know, go along with things because they want to be positive. We all want to make a difference and we don't know how often. So if you can step up and say, hey, this way your skills can be helpful. As Daniela said, through the conference, we really learned those skills of online presenting. I think, you know, better than almost anyone, like just how to work online. I think the other thing is the network. So the conference just reinforce something I've been doing for years. Like when COVID's not happening, I'm just flying around different countries, right? And like, for example, I was in Amsterdam. I taught for a day. I spent a day in one-to-one meetings, and I had a dinner with 20 embodiment teachers. So that's 2 days in Amsterdam. Then it was Belgium the next day, same thing. And it was the day before, it was Copenhagen. So I'm having dinner with people, I'm having lunch with people, I'm having coffee with people, I'm training people, I'm getting guest trainers in. So I'm building this network face-to-face, and now also people who listen to the podcast, for example. Right? It's just building a network so that when we have an ask, maybe it's like, hey, who knows doctors and nurses for COVID calm? Or, hey, we need this for that. It's very easy because we've given away so much that there's just a huge amount of goodwill. And if you've got a list of 80,000 people, I'll give you an example. We have a millionaire friend who like lent us £15,000 for the conference. He's a kind of a rich guy who made his money in tech. I had no idea. He was just an Aikido friend, right? But if you've got a list of 80,000 people, you've got a few friends that have money, you've got a few friends who are doctors, you've got a few friends who are lawyers. I mean, you've got everything you need.
So I think people underestimate the power of kind of human goodwill in relationships.
I think that's one of the things that I kind of observed in what you're doing, Mark, in building relationships and communication, that it's, from my part, it feels really genuine, that it's not, or, you know, it's not a sales or a marketing pitch. It's like, no, there's an interest in building connections. And I know you're supportive of me working in the region and trying to build embodiment in Saudi Arabia. So there's, I can attest to how I feel about it, that there's genuine connection and support. And that, for me, that makes me jump. And when you say, okay, we need someone doing that and I have the capacity to do it, it's like, hey, I can help. And that's one of the reasons I've, you know, wanted to highlight the embodiment conference and not just talk to you, Mark, about embodiment or any of that, is just, I really want people to get how cool the embodiment conference is and how can people support, which is my question. Because I think I'd love to see it succeed. And I'd love to see you and Daniela having your effort, your time, your money, you know, in a good place and achieving what the vision is.
Yeah. And I think this is a really interesting combination. If you're like what I'd call a social entrepreneur, so someone has a business, but is also trying to do some kind of good. And you have to take care of like different sets of people simultaneously, including yourself. So like I can only do things if it works business-wise. Like I said with the COVID calm, I said, listen, I thought about it for 2 days. And I said, I'm only going to do this if it doesn't cost me a huge amount of money and I don't have to work on it more than 10 hours a week, because otherwise my normal business is going to go under, right? And it turned out that was possible and I found a way. You have to keep this mix of like, on the one hand, generosity, and it needs to be sincere. Not, I'm going to give you something because you're going to give me a, you know, I give you a horse now, you give me a horse later. That doesn't work. People feel that. They don't like it. It doesn't feel good here either. So this is something like all the world's religions and spiritual teachers have always taught about being like just a good person and how there's karma in that, and there's reciprocity in that. But as soon as you start thinking about the reciprocity, it doesn't work. You have to take care of yourself while simultaneously letting go of that and being generous. And it's a really fine line. And some days I'm on the wrong side of it. I'm either overly generous or I start to get like selfish again and self-interest, because we're human beings and that's, you know, that's also how we're made, right? There's always two sides. So I find that balance fascinating. And I can almost feel it as a body sensation now. We found this with the conference, didn't we, Daniela? That it's like, we're like, are we keeping the presenters happy? Are we keeping the public happy? Are we keeping us happy? And you have to keep that triangle, like kind of not, you know, doesn't work if it's not a triangle. Do you have any thoughts on that, Daniela? Because I think this is definitely one of the secrets to our success.
Yeah, I think this win-win situation, what you're describing, that's an important part. So trying to make something happen which is beneficial for everybody involved. The presenter needs to have, they're giving their time for free and they're under circumstances also promoting the event. So they need to have like also like a reason why they're doing that, and a solid reason. And the same for the participants. So they need to have like a solid reason why they are coming, what they want to get out. And our task is to make sure that these expectations are met, or we manage these expectations and what we can meet.
And you have to give to them sincere. Like I see a lot of online businesses treating customers like cattle, treating customers like people to be used, not even people, like dehumanizing them in a kind of, I won't name brands, but there's certain things that online, I just feel like icky, like this person's just trying to use me to sign up for their thing or whatever. And like people can't have that feeling. It doesn't feel good. And you know, it's not sustainable. Like the most sustainable business has to be like these win-wins or triple wins in our case.
It's also not fun. Like for me, at least, when I feel that this is happening in any way, it drains my own energy. I'm getting tired of it, like as an organizer. So that is, and we're coming with that to the win for the organizers. For us, it needs to be sustainable, and it's not sustainable if I constantly go into this hidden contracting thing of, I give you something because I expect you to give me something back. That doesn't work.
No, you're right.
I'm wondering, I'm not wondering, I'm pretty much sure that, you know, with embodiment and being, you know, ourselves connecting to how we feel and what's going on, there's, you know, and as Paul Linden would say, ethics is something you do in your body. So to have that sensitivity of, oh, that doesn't feel good, that seems like a, you know, not ethical. So even if, you know, kind of the mind would want to have a trick of, oh, this could be useful, or finding excuses, that when it's a felt sensation and feeling in the body is not taking that.
No, if you're tuned into your body, it gets very hard. And like Daniela has seen me do this, I have weird salary negotiations sometimes. Sometimes I just say, Daniela, how much money do you want? And she'll say, I don't know, for a project, she'll say 10,000. I'll say, doesn't feel right. How about 12,000? And she'll say, no. How about? So it's like, it's the opposite of what a salary negotiation normally is. Or often we just both go, no, that's a bit off. I'm going to give you a bonus, or, you know, and you've seen me do this with other people, right, Daniela? It's not just because I like you. It's just, I'm really genuinely going, how much do I want to, you know, like what's the ethics around money? It's not just how little can I pay to get the most. That's not sustainable if you want to work with people a second time.
And that is also something which I think gets our team together, because like the whole conference, how we organize it, we're running on borrowed money and on sponsorship money, meaning we can't pay like a huge load to people. But there's trust. There's trust in what we are doing, and that when we break even with a conference, that we will be able to pay bonuses. We just can't promise it at this point. So this kind of ethical business, that builds trust and that builds community. And the community you have in the team that reflects in the event.
Yeah, and people willing to make that effort. And I'd say to, you know, to listeners, that like register, have a look at the Facebook group, you know, get involved in that, see some of the giveaways and some of the events we do. If people want to lend us huge amounts of money, that's great. They should get in touch through the Embodiment Conference website. If people want to sponsor it, you know, that's another thing. But even sponsors, we have to be a good match. You know, they have to be people who really meet the ethics of it and the values of it. So, we're going to do a crowdsourcing thing next month for May for the conference, where we'll do like early sales and this kind of thing. So at the moment, I'm like researching that like crazy and finding out about how to do crowdfunding. But we never really have a problem, you know, like sooner, like we either sell something or someone gives us some money or someone lends us some money. So I find we're in a pretty good situation with it. And the other thing is, right now the conference smells like success, because we've had a few wins in a row with different events and the book and different things. And with the lockdown, like a lot of people are online. So I don't wish anyone ill, of course. You know, I don't wish this situation on anyone. And, you know, it's hurt my business in some ways, but for the conference, it's okay.
Yeah, because it seems like it's going to take some time to, you know, people to go on their whatever normal is normal. Who knows what normal is going to be.
Every day, huh? But yeah, it looks like it's going to take a while. How are things in Saudi with this? What's in the kingdom? What's the deal now?
They're pretty much doing, you know, what people say it's a good job. We've been a month now with, you know, school were closed. Just a couple of days ago, we went to 24-hour lockdown, only necessities. And it seems to be okay. Hospitals are not yet overwhelmed. They're expecting it to be so, but who knows? But it's interesting how all this is happening. So yeah, we'll see. Only time will tell. I want to be 2 or 5 years from now and see how do we look back.
You know, I think that not knowing is really interesting, because we don't really know. Like we're saying, oh, we're on this point of the curve, or we're 2 weeks behind Italy. You know, there's these predictions. No one actually has a clue. People don't understand this illness even, you know, in terms of what makes people, one person dies, another person doesn't, you know, like it's really crazy and no one really gets it. No one really gets the economic impact right now. You know, there's this weird kind of oil situation between Russia and Saudi Arabia right now, which has been exacerbated by this. The economics of that, nobody's even looking at here. What, you know, how will the price of petrol affect the price of food in the UK? Right? You know, what if half the delivery drivers are ill? What if actually the petrol's really low and food gets cheaper? Because that's a big part of the food prices here in the UK. Like there's all sorts of things. No one can predict this. And psychologically, people are going through this whole grief process that's really interesting. Yeah. And as a psychologist, if I'm half a day ahead of the curve, people think I'm like this super leader who can foresee the future. Like and if you're centered and you're calm and you're listening, you might get half a day ahead of what's happening. But
that's not much, right? So I think we should bring some humility to this and just say, I don't know.
Absolutely. So October doesn't seem that far away. Daniela, how are you? Are you counting down? And I know that you have EFCs just started, I think, last week. So that, you know, with whole traveling must be another kind of level of stress. And I have to, you know, I'm not marketing for it, or I have to plug it in. EFC has been one of the best trainings I've ever done.
The embodied facilitator course, and there are places available due to a couple of COVID dropouts.
Yes.
We have a couple of places newly available. So,
but we do have a lovely cohort, and I know there are two family members of you in the group. And indeed, it just started like a few days ago with a pre-course work, and also the little sister of the Embodied Facilitator course, the Foundations course, just started with a pre-course work. So, I think a huge, I hardly dare to say it, but a huge advantage of this crisis and this whole flourishing of online training is we don't need to invest into convincing people that that works. So this whole part completely falls away, and we don't need to do any effort anymore, because people either get it now or there's no point in working on that. So there's so much, and if you want to do any embodied work at the moment in most countries which are locked down, you need to do it online. You need to try it out, or you don't have anything. So in that sense, it takes a huge pile of work away from us. And I think that's a huge advantage. And
Yeah. So just to clarify, Daniel said we started the pre-work, but the actual course doesn't start for another month. So if people want to join EVA course last minute, that's still possible. And
right. Until 28th of April.
That sounds right. And you know dates, I don't know details. And if you go to embodiedfacilitator.com, you can find EFC and embodiedfacilitator-FEC, F for Freddie, E for Echo, C for Charlie, FEC. You can find the online course. And EFC has sort of gone a little bit online now, but we're hoping to be back together in July. And I saw some really good news from the UK government today that looks like they're going to be opening things up in June. So I think we're good for July, Daniela, if you saw that video.
new EFCers will be in for a treat. It's such an awesome experience. I want to circle back and highlight the 1,000 speakers. And you said, Daniela, that you're opening up you have the application process. So if anyone is listening who would want to apply, I'll put the link in. But is there anything that, you know, the guidelines that would help people see, okay, this is something I can do, this is a good fit or not?
Well, a good fit is anything which adds up to the conference. So what we want to do is presenting a menu. So what doesn't help is to have, 20 presenters talking about one kind of meditation. So we want to have something which is really broad. So perhaps something innovative, or you're really, really experienced already, talking about a minimum 10 years of embodied work or teaching.
Preferably 20, but if they're innovative, 10.
Minimum. Being able to present online. So I can be a fantastic teacher offline. That doesn't mean I can present online. And you see this now a lot. So that's a huge new skill set. And if people didn't do this, now it's the time to practice that, to get good in that. And going through the application process and handing in the application, we are opening this up in May or June again. So we have like application rounds. So we're opening up the application, we process that, and then we have the next application round. And having a little bit of an idea what they want to present.
That's a good time to think about it and see how they want to contribute would be good.
Great. I'd say it's going to be nice to have some speakers from other parts of the world other than the United States, where we get a lot of applications from. So, you know, people, for example, in the Middle East want to apply, they'd be in with a good chance, as long as they're not too new age, not too kind of hardcore about what they're doing. They've got a deep experience of their art, but they don't think it's like the only thing in the world, you know, not like super fundamentalist about yoga or Nia or whatever. But yeah, basically we welcome speakers. They've got a different point of view. So that'd be useful.
Yeah. Mark, before we end, we're kind of getting close to the hour. Anything, any gifts you want to shower my listeners?
Gifts? What do you have? You look great today. And, you know, we just want to say you're all lucky to have Manal helping you all out here. So very lucky if you got a chance to train with Manal. I'd love to see you, by the way, Mel. Yeah. What do you mean gifts? Like words, or you want me to offer them a freebie?
Gifts of wisdom. Let's put it this way, and put you up on a pedestal, and so you
no
can.
No pressure.
Everyone 10 pounds.
No, just to have parting words on, you know, Embodiment Conference on why. Do you do what you do? Because I know you get a reputation of, you know, you're really driven and, you know, you say to yourself, you're not that nice, but, you know, you have a heart. Yes,
I'm the least nice one. I'm in the 1% least nice people, according to the psychometric test I did the other day. But that's not a bad thing. That means I just don't care what people think.
Yeah, but I would have to say you have a big heart.
I do have a big heart.
And you do care. So that's kind of this. So we got the compliments.
We got that done. Charming. I just say to listeners, listen, there's a lot of stuff out there, whether it's for the conference or courses, and there's lots of good teachers out there. We've mentioned some, Philip Shepherd, Paul Lynn, there's many more. And I just say, you know, find something that resonates with you and fall in love with it and let it kill you.
Wow, that's quite a wisdom.
Boom, mic drop.
Mic drop, yes. But Daniela, you have to, you know, find a way to, I don't know, your last.
I'm not going to top that, but.
No, you're going to top it in your own way, Daniela. We got, that's a Mark Walsh mic drop. Let's see Daniela's mic drop.
Well, I would advise listeners to follow what feels right for them. So like for me, I'm working with Mark because he is not the nicest person, but he's honest. And for me, honesty is a huge value, probably one of the biggest. And that's why I love to work with them. So let your work be value-driven more than financial or ratio-driven.
Wonderful. Beautiful. Mic drop, right. Daniela.
As well. Like you do what you love. And, you know, like this, like you've become this like Zoom consultant that's highly sought after, getting more offers to do admin work than you could ever thought of, right? Like that comes, that stuff like being known or having money or friends, you know, that all comes if you do
what. Yeah, never planned that or like right. Educated. I don't have any Zoom diplomas. It just happens to happen.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. I didn't mention it in the beginning, but Mark, you have the embodiment book, Moving Beyond Mindfulness. I have it right in front of me here.
What is it in Arabic? What's how do you say that in Arabic?
Embodiment, I have not found the perfect word for it yet. It's tough, but moving beyond. I don't know.
Okay, we'll get a translation done one day.
Yes, we're going to do that. And the Centering book. The Centering book is available online. It's an ebook on the Embodied Facilitator website. It's really a great book. And I think the only one that I've seen that is extensive on what is centering. And I think if I got, I would say one tool that everyone should learn is centering. Because that could be really a life-changing skill.
Great.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Daniela. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.